Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stay tuned. It'll be a short time, maybe 30 minutes or so, of motivation, inspiration, some education. Always done without any type of manipulation. This show doesn't manipulate people. We're not here to hustle you. We're not here to ask you for any money. We're not here to ask you to join up, give it up, fess it up, do anything. The only thing we're here doing is giving you accurate information. And it's our prayer that this information will help you verify as well as identify God's plan for your life. And if you can do that, and if you want to, I pray you will orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. I cannot begin to tell you how many letters and phone calls I get from folks across the country that are doing just that. I'm so grateful to every one of you that have written to me, that have contacted me, and have told me how the Word of God through this radio show has challenged you and changed you and given you a boost in your spiritual life. And that you are now growing in grace and you're beginning to replicate Christ in your thinking. That's exactly why I'm here doing this. And I'm so very grateful for that. Grateful that God has given me the privilege for almost 11 years to produce these radio shows and to give them out across 21 cities now across America. And we're praying that we continue to grow this year as well. So we're into a new year, we're into a new administration, we're in a lot of things happening in this country, but the Word of God lives and abides forever, and it is unchangeable. God is immutable. He never changes. So the principles and the procedures and the precepts that He gave even in the Old Testament, you know, written to the Jews without a doubt, but there's some application to us today in a lot of different ways. But today we want to start talking about spirituality. You've heard that word before, spirituality. You've heard people say, that's a real spiritual giant, or that's a real spiritual man. He's real spiritual, or she's real spiritual. And it's usually related to some sort of emotional thing where they've always got a grin on their face, and they're always, hello, brother, hello, sister, God bless you. And they have this appearance of being close to God. They act like they're close to God. Some of them even dress like they're close to God. I mean, you can tell sometimes a preacher just from the way he dresses or the way that he walks and talks, and it's almost like it's an expected persona that you have to have. And I don't always buy that. But I want to talk about what is real, true spirituality and give it to you from the Bible. What does it mean when someone says he or she is a spiritual person, a real spiritual giant? This was the question I wanted answered after I became a believer. I was around people that I thought, and some of them really were, real spiritual giants, close to God, intimate to God. So here's the first verse we have to look at. If we start here with this verse, then we can go on and begin to see what this is all about. In 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness or absurd to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the things of God can only be discerned by means of the pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, spiritually discerned, the pneuma. The pneuma is translated spirit or the Holy Spirit. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ said, if I go away, I'll send my spirit and he'll guide you. He'll be the author of truth. He'll lead you into truth. And the Greek word there was to be a paraclete or a coach or a guide. Well, if you're going to understand the Word of God, there it can only be understood spiritually. It cannot be understood by a lost man or by a carnal man. So verse 15, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15, he that is spiritual judgeth or makes a judgment. not to judge someone as sin. That's not what it is. This is prudence in your life. He's very prudent. He makes a judgment about all things. And yet he himself will be judged by no man. And the word spiritual there is the word pneumatikos, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S, pneumatikos, spiritual. In Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, pneumatikos, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So this is talking about a believer out of fellowship. He's carnal. He's fallen into whatever his lust pattern is, and he's gone astray, and we are to pray for that person. We are to talk to that person, encourage them to turn away from their sin and come back. Now, who is this person that's spiritual? That's the question. Those of you that are spiritual, who exactly is the spiritual man? Excuse me while I turn a page of notes here. The spiritual man. After I got saved, I met some spiritual giants, at least I thought I did. Real men that were really spiritual giants in their life. I mean, they sounded spiritual and they looked spiritual. They acted spiritual. I mean, I was almost implied to me that if you wanted to be close to God, you should be very sacrificial. You know, like I heard a story about a rich man that loved the Lord and sold everything he had and drove a Volkswagen, owned one suit and one pair of underwear, and he was close to God. He gave away everything. Well, that's not what makes you a spiritual giant. You're not spiritual because you look holy. You're not spiritual because you sound holy. What is it that makes a person spiritual? Do some people achieve it to a greater degree than other people? I mean, are some people more spiritual than other people? Is it some sort of stimulating emotional feeling that produces an ecstatic reaction? Like an emotional high, like, you know, people say, I've been with God today. Or God visited our church this morning. I hope God visits your church every day that you're not even there, because he's immanent and transcendent. He's omnipresent. So obviously he's able to be in your church and over across town at the other church at the same time because he's omnipresent. But somehow or another, because you had an emotional service and you got all fired up, you think you got more God than they did. Well, that's just not true. So here are some clear and some simple answers. Spirituality is available to any believer. Any believer. Just like salvation is available to any person. To understand what spirituality is, you need to first understand what spirituality is not. It is not avoiding someone's pet taboos. It's not that. Unfortunately, many well-meaning believers seek to manipulate you, manipulate their brothers in Christ by, they're going to lay a guilt trip on you, see. They're going to say, oh, brother, you're smoking that cigarette. You can't be close to God if you smoke a cigarette. They'll tell you, you can't be spiritual and take a drink. You can't be spiritual and smoke a cigarette. You couldn't be spiritual and go to a casino. You can't be spiritual and watch that old HBO on television. These extremists will tell you that you cannot be spiritual and do a lot of things. Like eat in a restaurant if they serve alcohol. Well, spirituality is not a system of works. That's not what it is. Anybody that tells you some of these things, leave them alone. Get away from them. They are manipulators. They want to try to tell you what is spiritual and what is not spiritual. Spirituality is not a system of works. It's not you witnessing to somebody every day carrying around a pocket full of tracts. I remember having lunch with a guy one time, and he buttonholed our server and just kept the server from doing anything as he tried to present the gospel to the server and give her tracts and ask her if she's going to heaven. And that's all fine and well, but her boss did not appreciate it. You're not spiritual because you read the Bible through from cover to cover every 3 months. You're not spiritual because you say you've yielded 100% of yourself to God. You're not spiritual because you went to some retreat and rededicated your life to the Lord, or you get up at 5 a.m. every morning and you pray at 5 a.m. That's not how you get spiritual. You're not spiritual because you look holy and wear black clothes, Johnny Cash type stuff. You have a somber attitude, you rarely laugh, have a serious demeanor, and you utter spiritual phrases all day long like, Lord willing, God bless, and have a great, blessed, wonderful, praiseworthy day. When people tell me that, have a blessed day, brother, my first question is, I want to ask them is, okay, tell me how to do it. And they look at you like, huh? I said, well, you just told me how to have a blessed day. Tell me how to do it. And they can't. And spirituality is not doing something or avoiding doing something. It's not by something you do, by having some upbeat, super excited personality who's in love with Jesus. That's not spirituality. What is spirituality? Here's what it is. It's a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. You see, you got God the Holy Spirit at salvation. Let's read Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. The gospel of your salvation, once they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, they got saved. In whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment of your salvation, God the Father seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's kind of like the lady that makes homemade jelly and she puts paraffin wax on top of it, and you don't eat the jelly till they take the paraffin wax off. The wax keeps it fresh and keeps it from getting infected. Well, when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, it means that Jesus Christ, our Lord, promises that the Holy Spirit would be given to you, that He would lead you, that He would guide you, that He would protect you. This is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And it is God's mark that you belong to Him. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, "Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" When you got saved, you were indwelled by God the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19, and you were sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Now listen, take very seriously what I'm about to tell you. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now, I just gave you 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now listen to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and you are the temple. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. I'm the temple. What does that mean? When you allow unconfessed sin to defile your temple, mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue, overt sins, when you allow sin to defile the temple, to get into your life, and you don't rebound, problem-solving device number one, you don't get rid of sin, then we set ourselves up for divine discipline. It always comes in three stages: warning discipline, intense discipline, even dying discipline. You can read about it in Hebrews 12, 6, 7, 8, 9, right in there. Romans 8, 13 says, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you will put to death the deeds of the body by means of the Spirit, you'll live. And we're also commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're sealed. Yes, we're indwelled. But Ephesians 5, 18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Plero-o. And it's a present, passive, imperative in the morphology of the Greek verb, peroo. This means that there's never a time in the believer's life when he's not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The passive voice says the subject receives the action of the verb. The imperative mood is the mood of command. And so we are commanded to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. We're told in Galatians 5:16, if we walk by means of the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. A present active imperative. Peripatao. Walk. Peripatao. Live your lifestyle. Present tense, and never is a time you're not to do this. The active voice, now you, under the filling of the Holy Spirit, you produce this action, and the imperative mood is the mood of command. So the filling of the Holy Spirit and walking by means of the Spirit. And then in Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Another imperative mood. There's a decision at the point in time when you're going to decide that you're not going to let your flesh control you anymore. And that's every time you rebound, you are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirituality, being a spiritual person, occurs when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're carnal. You're fleshly. So you're either, right now, as you listen to me, you're either in the flesh, meaning you have unconfessed sin in your life, or you're filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning you're up to date. You're not letting sin fester in your life. You haven't hidden your sin from God. Yes, you may have failed. Yes, you may have sinned. But you went to God the Father and you admitted your sin immediately to Him. This is spirituality. Spirituality is an absolute. It's not a gray area. Maybe I'm spiritual. Maybe I'm not. I don't feel all that spiritual. Listen, you are either filled with the Holy Spirit right now, or you're not. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. If you're not, you're carnal. Now, this is not being a mature believer. Spirituality is based on the filling of the Holy Spirit. Maturity is based on the content of the Word of God in your soul. Spirituality is an absolute, not a gray area. Thus, if we take a famous preacher, for example, like Billy Graham, he cannot be any more spiritual than you. If he's filled with the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit, you're both spiritual. Excuse me. But he may be more mature than you. That means he may have more content of the Word of God in his soul than you do. But spirituality is an absolute. It's not a matter of degrees. It's not a matter of Joe is more spiritual than Bob. No. Either Joe's filled with the Holy Spirit and Bob's filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're both spiritual. You either are filled with the Holy Spirit or you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're either 100% spiritual or 100% carnal. But spirituality is not you acting spiritual. It's you being controlled by the Holy Spirit and not controlled by your sin nature. At any one time in your life, you've got to remember this, at any one time in your life, you're either going to be controlled by God the Holy Spirit, or you're going to be controlled by your flesh, your old sin nature. There is no in-between. There is no gray area. There are no degrees. You're either spiritual or you're carnal. Right now, spiritual or carnal, look at yourself. Is there unconfessed sin in your life? You say, oh, no, no, I don't remember. Listen, remember the verse says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing, even the ones you don't remember. I mean, did you confess the last sin you did, you remember? Mental attitude sins, worry, fear, anger, bitterness, jealousy, sins of the tongue, slander, gossip, maligning, criticizing, backbiting. You didn't slander the ex-president, did you? You didn't call him some old nasty names because you didn't like him, did you? You think that might have been a sin? I mean, if you slander the new president and you hate him and you don't like him and you call him every name in the book to anybody that'll listen, could that be a sin? Sure it is. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit when you slander people. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit when you gossip about people. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit when you judge people and malign people. Those are sins. So you have to confess your sin. Spirituality occurs when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. No in between, no degrees. The Bible uses the analogy of light and darkness. That's pretty simple. 1 John 1, 5-10. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But if we walk in darkness, there's the sin nature. See, you're either walking in the light, in fellowship with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, or you're walking in darkness, out of fellowship with God, under control of your sin nature. Spirituality occurs when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that occurs at the very moment you confess any known sin to God. It's not something that comes later. It's not some second blessing that causes you to foam at the mouth. It's something that happens anytime you name your sin to God. It's always an absolute. Now, spiritual growth is relative. Spiritual growth is relative. Believers grow because they see the need to grow. Carnal believers don't grow because they don't see any need to grow. But spirituality is absolute. And carnality is absolute. However, maturity, well, that's a little relative. Can you tell if you're a spiritual Christian? Could you tell that? Could you look in the mirror and say, well, I guess I'm pretty spiritual. Looking in the mirror, I look spiritual. No, you can't tell it. It's not an emotional feeling where you feel close to God. I mean, there have been times when I felt really closer to God than I maybe feel right now, but that doesn't mean I'm spiritual. It's necessary for you to recognize the filling of the Holy Spirit. Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Must you recognize that? And the answer is no. As long as you are fulfilling the biblical mandates, you will be filled even if you don't know it. You might not even sense it, but you will be filled if you do what the Bible says. Confess your sin to God. Now, there are characteristics that manifest themselves in the Christian's life when he's filled with the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. So as you grow in grace and become a mature believer, as you're filled with the Spirit, you begin to have the capacity to love. And that's personal love for God, impersonal love for others. That's a virtue envelope that God gives you. This is the fruit of the Spirit, virtue love. And there's joy. This is the happiness that comes from being filled with the Spirit. That's another problem-solving device. Problem-solving device number 9, sharing the happiness of God. There's a peace that comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's an inner stability. There's no fear, no worry in your life. There's long suffering in your life if you're filled with the Holy Spirit consistently. And that's the ability to be patient and to be persevering. There's gentleness where you're not overbearing, you're not rude, you're not impetuous, and you demonstrate forgiveness to other people. There's goodness. There's faith. That's the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God. There's meekness. That's humility, having them humble yourself, letting the mind of Christ control you. And there's temperance or self-control. Discipline. All of these are manifested traits of God the Holy Spirit and exposed in the believer's life when he's filled with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit controlled believer will grow spiritually in his spiritual life. And remember, the power for the Christian life is in the Holy Spirit, but the choice to be filled is controlled by your volition. You choose. You make that decision. God did not make you into a little automaton. You have a choice. You can choose to sin and disregard God's mandates, or you can choose to obey the mandates of God. Now, when the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, you can choose to obey that, or you can choose to say, I don't have time to study. I'm busy. I'm raising kids. I'm going to school. I'm doing all this. I don't have time for God. Well, I'm sorry. If you don't have time for God, why do you expect God to have time for you? You hear me? I hear this all the time. People say, pray for me. I get these emails, pray for me. People that never talk about God, that never have time for God, when they get in a jam, they want the preacher to pray for them, or they want their friends, they put it on Facebook, pray for me, I've got surgery today, pray for me. The rest of the time, goodbye God, I'm busy. You want God to have time for you, and you don't have time for Him? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. I don't have time to grow. I don't have time to study. Jesus said in Matthew 11, take my yoke and learn of me. I don't have time to learn. I'm busy. Oh, pray for me. I need help. That prayer is not going to go any higher than the ceiling most of the time. A spiritual Christian, a man or a woman that is filled with God's Holy Spirit, is going to go through several stages on the road to heaven. He's going to go through that infant stage where he's easily distracted. He's going to go through the adolescent stage where he can be easily misled, and he will go through the maturity stage. And this is where he has some knowledge and wisdom and faith and grace and production. And, you know, even a newborn Christian can lead another person to Christ. I did right after I got saved. But an infant Christian will not have maximum production in his life, never. This is a lot of stuff to think about. The difference between maturity and spirituality is radical. You can be a spiritual Christian if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But you cannot be a mature believer unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are obeying, grow, study, learn. Without that, you're never going to reach spiritual maturity. You go to heaven. You'll have eternal life. You will not hear, well done, my good and my faithful servant. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I hope God the Holy Spirit is getting your attention. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline, saying thank you for being with me today.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.